Hello and welcome everyone. Can everyone hear me just fine? Yes, good. Good. And so I just want to start off this week's live stream just with a couple of announcements. This August, in about a month, I'll be having a retreat here in Durango. It's a non-residential retreat hosted at a little chapel here in Durango, and so I'm going to invite you and welcome you all to join me in that. It's the August 17th through the 19th, so it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and so we're going to spend some time in meditation, in silent meditation, walking meditation, guided meditation. We'll have a couple different satsangs each day. There'll be time for question and answer and sharing. And so it'll be a very intimate retreat. I know a lot of people who go on retreat with some of the bigger teachers like Ajahn Chah or Muji or Pema Chodron, and sometimes you're on retreat with 400 people. And so this will not be like that. It'll be a time where we'll work together, where we will deepen, in this practice of meditation and contemplation and prayer and healing together. And so I know I've said this often, but throughout my path, I benefited so greatly from spending time on retreat with my teacher and having him right there where I could ask him any question and interact with him and receive his instructions and the transmission. And so I encourage you, if your heart is interested, I'm going to invite you to see if you can come out to Durango and give yourself this gift of retreat. And so that's the invitation. It's an ongoing invitation, to join together, in this space of open-heartedness. And so that's the first announcement. The second announcement is I would like everyone to thank Suzanne. Suzanne is my assistant. She's been so helpful to me, so helpful behind the scenes, making the website work, help with these webcasts, and to be honest, she helps she helps pull everything together, and so she's been so helpful. And so if everyone could, just write a little thank you in the message bar and just let her know, thank you for her work. I know when I worked for my teacher, people would come to see him, but I would spend all my free time and my work time taking care of my teacher, making sure the retreats were running smoothly. This was back before technology was a thing, and so we didn't do much technology stuff, but anything that broke, I was there, to help with and to be of service. And so it's nice, as a being my teacher's assistant and apprentice, to have, to see that people actually acknowledge that. So I just want to formally thank Suzanne for everything you've done. So thank you so much, Suzanne. And then, of course, thirdly, I want to thank everyone for the donation. So thank you all for that. And these teachings aren't possible, without your support. And so that being said, tonight's topic is the art of meditation, contemplation, and prayer. And so I'm going to speak about those. And of course, if anyone has any questions around that, I'm going to invite you to type it in the message bar if you're on Facebook, or if you're on Pal Talk, you're welcome to grab the mic or ask for the mic, and then we can talk. And so, I'd like to start today with a story. So, about 3 years ago, a little bit more, a little bit over 3 years ago, my father died, And it was a big deal when he died. It was completely unexpected, and so I went home and we did the funeral and that whole ordeal. And then I came back to Durango, and as soon as I got back home, I had an old friend come and ask me, and he said, "Hey, Craig, we're floating down the river. Would you like to go for a ride?" And I said, "Okay." And I hopped in his boat, and about maybe 10 minutes later, I was launched out of the boat, and the boat flipped over, and we're going through these really huge rapids. It was actually the biggest day of the year for our river, and there's this big piece of metal on the boat. It's called an oar lock, and when the boat flipped over, it cracked me in my head, and so it really really created big bloody wound there in my head. And then I proceeded to get sucked under, into the rapids, and I'd get sucked under and spit back up. And when I was getting sucked under, I was being tumbled around by all these boulders and really got beat up. And to be honest, there was a little bit of time there when everything went silent, and I just thought, "Oh, I'm going to join my father in heaven." It just went completely silent, and I was basically drowning. And at some point, I got kicked out the other side of the rapids, and of course I'm here today, and so I lived. But I ended up having this head injury that's gone on for about 3 years, where I live with pretty consistent pain, a lot of pain. And so oftentimes when people teach meditation, they teach it in a way where we are simply trying to escape pain. But for one reason or another, God has given me, different levels of pain, pain that I wasn't able to ever escape. And so I tried, in the beginning to see if I could out-meditate my pain. But if we look at what the art of meditation is, the art of meditation is this willingness to be open with whatever's present. It's also a willingness to connect to something deeper than our egoic nature. And so most of our life, we live from this place, in our head. I call it like the command center. It's like the ego's up here in our head. And we're always trying to outsmart life. We're trying to just get what we want. Manipulate or lie or, finagle so that we can experience, more peace, more pleasure, more joy, and less pain, less suffering. And so suffering's a little different than pain. Pain is just that felt, the felt feeling, the felt sense. But suffering is all that extra stuff that we do, that we add on top of the pain. And so in life, you'll find there's going to be times when you experience pain. But all the commentary and the, "I wish this wasn't here, I wish it was different, I wish I had $1 million," or "I wish I had the perfect, husband, wife, girlfriend, car," whatever it is that people want. "I want to be, enlightened. I want my kundalini to awaken," or "I want the energy to go away because it's too intense." Whatever it is, all that is simply the mind's commentary. And so if we're truly going to step into the space of meditation, we have to be willing to drop out of the mind and into this place of silently witnessing. Silently witnessing life. This is a space that's beyond commentary. It's beyond ego. Now, this space is here with you right now. It's always been here. It is your very nature. And so it's not a cold, dead, accountant type witnessing. So all of us know this space. If you step back into your heart, you'll feel this gentle presence of innocence. A gentle presence that's hearing the sound of my voice right now. It's pre-commentary. If you are alive, then this presence is here. It's here. It's looking out of your eyes. And so in order to step into, to fully step into this presence, you have to give yourself permission to stop thinking, or at least give yourself permission to let go of your attachment or interest in thought. And so in order to become a master of meditation, you have to get to know yourself. You have to be willing to let go into this childlike innocence and say, yes, yes, I'm simply going to sit here and look out at life, experience life from this innocence. And so sometimes, you know, the art of meditation, it may look like sitting on a beach or on some cliffs, you know, overlooking the ocean. It may mean just sitting on a back porch and just looking out at those rolling hills, watching the clouds float through space. And without your iPhone, without your technology, without this or that. And simply to give yourself permission just to let go into this experience of vastness, this experience of innocence, this experience of freedom. And so sometimes your meditation practice will be grace-filled. You'll sit and you'll open and you'll feel the presence of God come into your body. You'll feel this greater sense of light. You know, so if you sit and you open and you're receptive, which is another one of the great qualities of meditation, is to be receptive. I'm willing to sit here and open myself and receive this moment, whether it's the vastness of this moment, the peacefulness of this moment, the radiance of this moment. Or perhaps you may sit there and you just might find yourself just flooded with grace. And so anytime we sit down together, you know, I invite you to sit and be receptive, to sit and simply receive, to sit and open your heart fully. Open your heart fully. Open the entirety of your subtle energetic body and simply receive. If you've been on the path long enough, you'll begin to see that. You'll begin to realize that there's all these angels, all this incredible light beings. And you don't have to see them. You may just simply feel them. It's just forces of light, you know, just coming into you like a cool breeze or a wind. You may notice, you know, one chakra lighting up. You may notice, you know, like this intensity just intensity of light trickling down or pouring down or flooding your nervous system. And so the invitation here, you know, through this practice of meditation is to simply open and receive this grace. And so, you know, part of receiving is receiving your true nature, is stepping out of ego and receiving the goodness and the innocence and the love of your own heart. And that's step one. And step two is we can open and receive this greater divinity from God herself, from the mother herself. The great Krishnamurti, he used to speak about this immensity. And so sometimes we just open to this incredible immensity. It's like opening to the night sky. And the more you open to this, the more you realize, I am that. I and that am one. One, one without a second. And so, you know, when we're practicing meditation, it's this willingness to be open, to be receptive, to step back and silently witness. Witness what's here. To open and receive this greater grace, and to be flooded with love. But sometimes in meditation, we have this experience like I had today, where I was sitting down, I just sat down on my couch, and my wife was talking to me, and she said, "Hey, would you like to go on a river trip? I'd like to take, Ani and you, and we'll all go on this river trip." You know, her one of her good friends invited her on this trip, and I noticed as I sat down that there was this anxiety started to come forward within my consciousness. It was literally arising out of my body, and I felt, you know, just like this fluttering feeling of panic. I thought, what is this? I started feeling this burning just throughout my body. And I realized, oh, my body has some trauma in it, left over from that experience when I almost drowned. And so my wife looked at me and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm okay, sweetie." She said, "Do you need anything?" I said, "No, I'm just going to sit here and breathe." And so in the, you know, in this space of innocence, in the space of true nature, completely calm, completely at peace, completely loving and compassionate, yet my body was having this old visceral reaction. Because our body will store pain, our body stores trauma. And I don't care who you are, how enlightened you think you are. You know, for about 10 years, I owned a holistic health center. And, you know, we had 13 or 14 massage therapists. And so if any great teacher, you know, wanted to come and get on the table and say they have no pain, no trauma, no cellular memory in their body, well, you know, I could point to any of a number of massage therapists who could, you know, just massage into the body in about, you know, anywhere from 1 to 15 minutes could start to invoke some of these old memories, because these old memories, they're stored in our tissues. Trauma is literally stored in our tissue. And no amount of, you know, of awakening to the transcendent will get rid of trauma. What trauma requires is that we sit with it fully, that we open to it fully. Now, sometimes when we first wake up, there'll be, you know, different chunks of ego that fall away, you know, feel like a lot of things get liberated at once. But part of, you know, having a meditator's mindset is a willingness to sit with anything. And so this body that I have, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to nature. So I can find all sorts of things within it. All sorts of things. Memories from the past. Experiences of my ancestors. You know, conditioning from the collective consciousness or unconsciousness. And so part of this art of meditation is a willingness to sit, to open, to feel. And so it was funny. I was sitting today and I noticed this, you know, just this feeling, this burning come forward, you know, throughout my body. And so I sat there for about 2, maybe 3 hours and simply breathed. Simply breathed. I gave it my full loving attention. So this is what we do. This is what we do when we have pain within us. we're trained in meditation, we're trained in sitting with things, whether they are beautiful or difficult. Now, it's always much easier to sit with difficulty if you connect with your beauty and your true nature first. And so I'm not speaking about psychologically sitting with my pain. I'm speaking about sitting with it the same way a mother holds a child. She's attentive. She's loving. She's warm. She's open. She's compassionate. These are the qualities of the awakened mind, the awakened heart, the awakened consciousness. And so in order to meditate, we have to be willing to be disciplined to say no to our mind, to say no to our cell phone, to sit down, close our eyes, and simply breathe. Simply breathe. And we are receptive to everything, whether it's pain or bliss or vastness or radiance or love or whatever it is. And the more open you are, what you'll begin to discover is you'll have a dual experience. And by dual, I mean you may have pain that's arising in this vast spaciousness. But the more you let go into this spaciousness and this compassion and this love, that experience will become one. When I first started having this experience, I described it as terribly wonderful. It's like there was terror was arising, and yet it was arising within this wonder. Within this wonder, within this love, within this compassion. Whereas the ego looks at things as it's either black or white, good or bad, right or wrong. And so in order to step into the space of meditation, we have to have a gentle discipline where we say, I'm going to sit. I'm going to open, I'm going to feel, I'm going to receive, I'm going to let go, I'm going to not think. If I get lost in thought, I'm not going to judge myself, I'm gently going to come back and be with my heart, be with my subtle energetic body, be with the hugeness of my own consciousness. I'm going to let go into greater and greater experiences and manifestations of my own divinity. And so that's what we're doing in meditation. And so the same is true with prayer and contemplation. And the further you walk on the path, you see that these three avenues, these three arts, the art of prayer, of contemplation, and meditation are all very similar. And so say with contemplation, you may have a question in your heart. There may be something that you struggle with or something you don't fully understand. One of the great questions I had, I realized that my teacher lived in a fearless way. Fearless way. And I went to him one day and I said, I want to know what this fearlessness is that you live in. He smiled and didn't really say anything. He kind of left me on my own with that one. And so my contemplation was, what does it mean to be fearless? And most people think to be fearless means that fear never arises. But the paradoxical thing that we discover on the path is the more you embrace fear, the more you breathe into it, the more you welcome it, the less power it has over you. And so then at some point, the more you're willing to jump off that cliff into the very things you're afraid of, the more you're willing to embrace terror or sadness or rage or fear, whatever it is, fear begins to fall away. And it only arises in, in a real life situation, like, you're standing on the edge of the cliff, and then fear is an appropriate response, an appropriate reminder. But even today, as I sat, as I sat with this experience, I was coming forward from my body, and I opened to it. I noticed the body had this old feeling trapped in it, and I was willing to open to that feeling, experience it fully, and then I noticed the fear was burning up. That old feeling of fear or heartache or terror or whatever it was literally the feeling of drowning, started to burn up in my consciousness. And again, it wasn't just like that. It took a good 3 hours of sitting with it. And who knows, it may come back again, a different layer, a different level of it. And so any kind of trauma can get stored in the body. And then what we're doing here, through this art of contemplation, is just noticing. If you have a feeling in yourself, if you notice a feeling arise, you just ask, what is this about? You're curious about it. You want to know, what is this feeling about? Most people, when they have fear or sadness or anger arise, they want to avoid it right away. And so again, if we think back to meditator's mind, in meditator's mind, there's a willingness to feel and experience and to be with. And so the same is with contemplation. Now, most people, they look at contemplation from the perspective of the thinking mind, like the philosophical mind. But true contemplation, it's not a philosophical debate. Philosophy becomes irrelevant when we're truly connected with our heart. We're not up in our mind thinking, okay, is there life after death? What happens? In all these different heaven realms, are there really angels, this or that? True questions arise out of the heart. And so if you want to know about angels, you open your heart to the experience of angels. If you want to know your true nature, you open your heart to the direct experience of your true nature. And so contemplation, it's a question. Is there something in your heart that is unresolved? For me, this wonder, have I really gotten, have I really discovered about fearlessness? Do I really know what it means to live in a fearless way? And so the funny thing is when I went into that river and I was drowning, there was zero sense of fear. I just thought, oh, this may be death. Which is a funny thing, funny thing, no fear. No fear in that way, and that may sound crazy, but it was just silent. Completely silent. But then, of course, afterwards, when I lived through that experience and my body was all beat up and, I really was worked over. Like I said, I've had this head injury for 3 years and chronic headaches, and my body was so beat up by these rocks. I realized that there was places in my body that hadn't fully grieved, that was still holding and storing some of that fear. And so the invitation is just like with a child. If a child's in pain, you meet her with love. And so I notice, oh, my body has some pain in it. So I'm going to meet it with love. I'm going to meet it with love. And so contemplation is that is the willingness to step back and look at your life, look at your mind, look at your relationship with your mind, look at your relationship with feeling. Now, 99.9% of the planet is looking to avoid pain. But if we truly want to heal, we don't heal through avoiding pain. We heal through embracing pain, through connecting to our heart, and through letting go. Letting go. And so contemplation is that innocent space of awareness that realizes when we're in pain and we're like beating our head against the wall. And we say, I think I'm doing something wrong here. This isn't working. Or if we're meditating in a way where we're just trying to escape, and we realize, oh, I'm really good at meditation, but I'm kind of a jerk. I'm kind of a jerk in my everyday life. Maybe I need to change something. And so contemplation requires that we are humble. Humble, and we're willing to look. Look deeply and honestly at what we're doing and how we are living. And it's a willingness to say, no, I'm not going to live. You know, from the perspective of ego, I'm choosing to live in a different way. And it may mean that we need to just sit and silently listen, silently wait for the answer. You know, my teacher, he used to tell me about these angels that would come. And it took me about 10 years to begin to see and feel and experience these angels. And so it's a willingness to be open. There are so many things he told me about, and I didn't understand them. I just put it on the back burner. And then they started to come forward later in life, when my heart was open, when I was simply quiet and I realized, oh, what he was saying was true. You know, in the past, there was part of me that may have been arguing with him and thinking, oh, he was making something up or this or that. But through sitting and simply opening and being humble, you know, I realized everything he told me was, you know, 100% absolutely true. And so he invited me to open to all these worlds, all these heaven worlds, all these divine worlds. And so when we speak about this, this third topic is prayer. You see, all these things are connected: meditation, contemplation, and prayer. And prayer is this prayer-like attitude. It's this communication with God, where you're saying, God, show me the way. Show me the truth. Will you lead me? Will you guide me? See, most people, they look at prayer as, God, can you give me this thing? Can you give me what I want? And a lot of people do prayer like, you know, I'll quit smoking if you, you know, give me this thing. I'll be kind to my neighbor if you, you know, make her dog shut up or whatever it is. And people do this bartering act with God. But true prayer is a willingness to come down into the heart and to open yourself to God's grace. To open yourself in a receptive way to truth. And so prayer and meditation are very similar. But prayer is, it's just a little bit more active, where we're communicating to God, saying, Lord, show me, lead me, open me. You know, before I teach, I sit down and I say, Lord, will you speak through me? Will you bless everyone through me? Will you share your grace through me? Make me a fit conduit for your grace, for your love, for this transmission. And so it requires, a willingness to surrender. And you can ask for help. If there's something you're struggling with, say, Lord, will you take this pain from me? Will you show me the way? Will you help me to open? Will you help me to forgive? And so true prayer, you're asking God to help you to come more in alignment with her truth. Her truth. And I know I've said this before, but if we look at what true spiritual freedom is, true spiritual awakening, true spiritual enlightenment, it's you coming into full, total alignment with God's grace, God's truth, God's wisdom, God's love. You literally become a slave to her will. And keep in mind, when you become a slave to her will, it's a life that's filled with bliss, with love, with happiness, with joy. And yes, of course, there's going to be some time when you'll be called to be courageous. Courageous enough to embrace pain, whether it's yours, your partner's, your children, your community. And we need more bodhisattvas on the path. We need more individuals with Christ-like consciousness who are willing to open their heart and embrace, who are willing to go the extra mile, to take the extra step, to be honest, to be true, to be loving. This is what the world needs. And so, yes, so let's see here. We have a couple questions that came forward here. This is from Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Craig, could you please tell us what changes happen in the nervous system through the awakening process, and in particular, the transformation the Kundalini performs on the nervous system? Yes, and so, if we go back to, tonight's topic, is we are sitting and we are opening ourselves and we are inviting God to have her way with us. And so that was my ongoing prayer. That was my ongoing prayer with God. And so throughout the spiritual path, my chakras were opening, I was being flooded with grace, and it wasn't always easy. Pretty much any time I met with my teacher, if I'd meet with him on a Wednesday evening or on retreat, I would have sleepless nights because my body was being flooded, literally flooded with light. And so the nervous system, it begins to become upgraded throughout the path. And so if you're a good Buddhist and you just focus on peace, your nervous system becomes more peaceful. If you're a good Christian and you're calling upon the light of God, you begin to find this light is flooding your body. You'll feel the sense of holiness. You become more receptive, more open. You will feel more alive. And so absolutely there's a change to the nervous system. And so on the path, I kept just saying this prayer. I give myself to thee, Lord. As I was having countless spiritual experiences, so many different experiences. And the seven different chakra centers, cosmic consciousness, opening into these heaven worlds. My teacher, David, he was an incredible master. And, we'd spend months, You know, just opening to one heaven world. And it wasn't like we would go, on some astral way into a heaven world. That world would descend into our consciousness, and it literally began to become a part of us. And so, yes, the whole nervous system starts to change. And you'll find yourself, very much, very sensitive, having all kinds of feelings, and different things will happen in different chakra centers. And so at some point, I started to feel this explosiveness of energy. This was the Kundalini energy. Started exploding up the spine, and there was all kinds of strange neurological symptoms, and my body would go, spontaneously into yogic asanas, into mood, it'd go into these strange mudras, and for a while my head would, go back and I wouldn't be able to keep my head on straight. And I'd feel burning light in my head and in my heart and my belly. And so yes, can I talk about the transformation that's performed on the nervous system? Yeah, so when the Kundalini wakes up, well, there's a different kind of transformation that happens from the inside out. So before in the past, I was experiencing this transformation that was happening almost like from the outside in. It was grace coming into me. But with Kundalini, I felt like my spine was on fire. The heart was exploding open. It was in a state of, ecstatic bliss for like 2 years, where I just felt like, it's ridiculously euphoric. And so the more you let go into these experiences, those become just an everyday part of your consciousness. And so generally speaking, it feels really good, in this body. Despite even having a head injury and this and that and the normal aches and pains, within the consciousness it feels incredible. But that transformation, it happened over about a 5-year process with the Kundalini energies. And so I think one day I'll write a book on, all the different changes that happened. But basically the invitation is through Kundalini, it's an explosion of light within your nervous system. It feels as if you and God are one, on the level of matter, on the level of the body. And so the transformation was difficult, it was painful, it was no walk in the park. And I know I've spoken about this a lot, but Michelle, you asked, and so. There were headaches, intensity of light, was curled up in the fetal position for months at a time, hypersensitivity, lost my memory, all these things. But say within the experience, say losing the memory, what came in its place was a very silent mind. And so that's a beautiful thing. Sometimes it's awkward when I see a friend and I can't remember their name. I know their soul, but sometimes I can't remember their name. I lost the ability to do math. That's still difficult. Instead of, feeling like there's this center, like a me-ness in the head, there's a feeling of emptiness and freedom. But there was, a lot of aspects of ego which it felt like were burnt out of me. And the burning was not a joyous process. It was a difficult process. And so, I could go on and on about that, but I think that's probably enough for right now. And for most people, I don't recommend Kundalini. Kundalini was something that just kind of exploded in me. wasn't anything I was seeking after. I was just seeking oneness with God. And so Kundalini is a very particular form of oneness with God. But it's not easy in any way. Gabriel asks, Craig, who's your teacher? So I've had a number of different teachers. So David was my root teacher. And I normally don't, say his last name because he lives like a hermit and he doesn't have a website. He's not on social media or anything like that. But he's probably taught for 40 years now and he's getting to be quite old. But he was an incredible master. And I met him when I was 19 years old here in Southwest Colorado. He and I both moved to town at the same time, and I needed a job, and he needed someone to come and help him build a retreat center. And so he had a couple different people helping him, but they weren't working out. And so he said this, God, send me somebody good. And I was on the receiving end of that prayer. God connected the two of us, and I spent 20 years apprenticing with him. And so he was an incredible master, one of the most enlightened beings, I've ever met. And just have such incredible respect for him. And so I spent my days, my weeks, all my time with him, learning, and went on countless retreats with him. And so he was what's called my root teacher, my Satguru. And of course, beyond that, I spent, a lot of time studying with Ajahshanti, John Burney, Lama Soltram, Eli Jackson Bear, Gangaji, just to name a few. But beyond that, of course, the ultimate teacher is life. The ultimate teacher is life. Like just like today when I was sitting and my wife said, would you like to go on a river trip? And this old trauma arose within my consciousness. In that moment, life was saying, Craig, there's something you need to look at. There's some pain that's stored in your body that needs your love and attention. So life is our ultimate teacher. Life is our ultimate teacher, and it's always speaking to us. Life is continually speaking to us. If we find ourselves irritated, life is telling us to relax. If we find ourselves way too relaxed and we don't have any money and we're like a hippie just hanging out in the park and the bill chaser's coming after us, life's telling us, get grounded. Get in the world. Get connected with your power, with your gift. If we feel purposeless, we don't feel any meaning in life, same thing. Get connected with your gift. Get connected with your truth. Open to your true nature. So yes, a beautiful, beautiful questions. Okay, so here's one from, I think it says Willow. Craig, I can earnestly offer myself to the divine, and yet there is very real fear of what she may require that feels like a wall in my heart. And I have this resistance. How do I release this? Yeah, that's a beautiful question. A lot of people are scared of God. And so we must remember, Willow, you are letting go into the love, the compassion, the peace, and the intelligence of the universe. This is what we're letting go into. This is what we're letting go into. But most of us, we let go into the collective consciousness. We let go into the world of suffering. We give ourselves permission to get lost in the earthly plane. And so we're all letting go into the earthly plane. And by that I mean we're being lost, just getting lost in samsara, getting lost in maya. But you must remember, you're letting go into the God of love, the God of truth, the God who made you, who made your beautiful heart. And so I'm going to invite you to look at your relationship with God, Willow, and see, why am I afraid of God? What are my thoughts about God? Am I afraid God will make me do something? Is there something you should be doing? If God's going to make us do anything, she's going to make us be loving, be peaceful, be intelligent, be wise. These are wonderful things. She may ask that you forgive someone. And you have to remember, people get all worked up about ego death and this and that. You're letting go into a greater manifestation of your own self. You are one with God. And so I want to invite you to remember. Can you remember, Willow, the computer you had 10 years ago? Would you like an upgraded computer? An upgraded operating system? And so this is what God is eternally offering us. It's an upgraded operating system. And don't, you know, get all scared and say, oh, if I let go, my Kundalini is going to awaken and it's going to be painful and difficult. If God wants that to happen, she'll make that happen. But for most of us, when we let go, it's a joy. We experience peace. We experience freedom. We experience a greater manifestation of our true nature. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And yes, like, I think it says, Deb is writing here. We're letting go into the space of liberation. But what are we liberated from? We're liberated from our own egoic nature. We're liberated from our suffering, from that commenting voice in our head that wants to argue with everything. And so, Willow, this is a great question. I'm going to invite you to sit with it and to contemplate. What is this resistance about? So if you feel a resistance toward God, I invite you to sit and feel that resistance. And just imagine that that resistance is a child. Literally a little girl who's scared. And just to ask her, what's the fear about, sweetie? What's it about? And listen to her fear. Honor it, acknowledge it, and then take a deep breath, and from a place of faith, know that this path is about letting go into love, letting go into truth, letting go into oneness. You know, no one's asking you to join the army here and to go off to war. And so having a connection with God is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself. Having a, you know, a connection, a relationship with your true nature where you let go into it is the greatest gift you can give yourself. Nothing to be feared. Nothing to be feared. Now, will you have to face some things? Sure. Of course. On the spiritual path, we have to face anything that's not true. Not true. We have to be honest. We have to forgive. We have to let go of our leads with that commentator in the mind. And so, are you willing to pay those, pay that as a price, as a payment? Say, yeah, I'm willing to be honest. I'm willing to admit I complain. I'm willing to admit I gossip. I'm willing to let that go. And in its place, step into silence. Step into love. Step into acceptance. So yes, ask these beautiful questions. And so I'm going to invite us here in this last couple minutes simply to open, simply to feel, simply to receive. And so if we can take just a couple deep breaths and really let go, really give ourselves permission to experience our subtle, energetic body. To feel your goodness. To feel the love and the innocence of your heart. To feel that silent space of witnessing. And so from this place of openness, I invite you just to ask, what's this resistance about? Is there any resistance here in my body? What's it about? Is there any place I'm holding on or holding back? Is there any place where I could more fully let go? And then let us just take a couple deep breaths and just letting go more and more. We can ask this question. Is there anything God wants me to do? What's my next step on this spiritual path? Is there some aspect of my shadow that I'm not fully embracing? Is there someone I need to forgive? Is there someone I need to love? Is there an aspect of myself I need to love? And so as we're sitting here, we're being honest, we're being open, and we're being receptive. Receptive to our truth and to God's truth. Yes. Yes, and so we're going to continue just letting go in this way, and just see, there's one more question that's popped up. And so for Michelle, the Kundalini feels like a long birthing process. Absolutely, it absolutely is. I describe it this way on a daily basis when I'm working with individuals. It's intense, it's wild, it's magnificent. My question is, once it ignited, does it continue while the body is alive? Yeah, of course it continues. Of course it continues. And so, you know, once it calms down, it just becomes this silent space, a silent, radiant love. Eventually it integrates within the nervous system. It doesn't become so wild anymore. The invitation is simply to open, to receive, experience, and let go. See for yourself what happens. But eventually, all things integrate. And your experience of yourself becomes huge, becomes incredible. And so it's not like it just falls into the background, but it literally becomes, like your life literally becomes Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And so, yes, so that's a beautiful question. I want to thank everyone for their questions. I want to thank everyone for being here this evening. And again, just want to remind everyone that these webcasts are supported by donation. There's a PayPal link on my website, craigholiday.com. It's very helpful to support these webcasts and for the spreading of the Dharma. And so if you got something, from this, share it with a friend, tell a friend that they can join us in this way. And it really means a lot just to sit together and to connect as a community. Even though we're spread, all over the globe, it means so much to me. I feel so blessed by your presence. So God bless you all, and may you all have a wonderful evening.